Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to The Balance, the only sports talk show that gives a well-balanced diet of sports. Host Tom Marquis and the gang are ready to break down this week in sports. This is the one place where fanatics can come together and talk about their favorite teams. The Balance brings you an analytical breakdown of sports from a fan's point of view. So sit back and get ready. It's time for The Balance.
Boy's got a mouth like a cannon, always shooting it off.
I wish you could just shut your big yapper!
Welcome to The Balance. My name's Tom Marquis, El Presidente. You have stumbled across the number one internet sports talk show in the world. Welcome to all of our affiliates across the United States, our radio station affiliates. And, of course, if you're listening to us on Indiana Talks, you're also listening to us on our tape delay broadcast between 1 and 3. So welcome our Indiana Talk fans as well. We know for a fact if they're talking in Indiana, well, they're talking on Indiana Talk. So my name is Saul Marquis, El Presidente. Opening week for baseball. I hope you guys had an opportunity to catch the Hot Corner opening night, Thursday night. Of course, we do that baseball talk show that we do every Thursday night. We talked with Ed Kratz, beat writer for the Philadelphia Phillies, broke down the Philadelphia Phillies, Jimmy Rollins, and you know, how good it was to have him back there with the Phillies. Of course, he had a baby as well. Didn't get quite as much of attention as one Daniel Murphy. We'll get into that conversation a little bit later on. Wow, what a firestorm that created. Well, as always, you're always on pins and needles because you don't know what's going to happen here on The Balance by Minions. And if you're not a Minion, make sure you follow us on at T-Balance on Facebook, The Balance. Today, at 9:10, we got Cruz Pettigron, NHRA, Funny Car, Nitro Funny Car driver going to be joining us, talking about his 2013 season and his 2014 season as well, and his snap-on Toyota Camry car as well. So we're going to be talking about that. And then, also today, we're going to have a special guest with us here in just a moment, going to be a special co-host. One of our founding forefathers, if you will, here at The Balance, Kevin Chapman was one of our, the original co-host of The Balance. And so he'll be making a cameo appearance with us today and hanging out with us for the next 2 hours. And then we're going to be getting into some Final Four talk. Matt Hicks from 1070 The Fan over at Emmis going to be talking with us about the Final Four. Did your brackets implode like mine here on The Balance? You know, I'm the host. You would have thought that I could have did a little bit better job, but our producer, Michelle Jones, and, well, ironically enough, Kevin Chapman are the only ones still alive. Actually, I believe Kevin is the only one still alive, so we'll go ahead and probably end up crowning him the champion, but not much we could do about that. What a crazy year it was for brackets. We are going to get into some conversations about some minor league baseball, the Indianapolis Indians here in town. Had a great time at the first pitch party earlier this week. Caught up with Jared Hughes, and we're going to talk with him a little bit. We're going to dive in all of this in the last half hour. We're going to be diving in to the conversation of Daniel Murphy, some baseball, and really kind of open phones. My digits, 917-889-8516. That's 917-889-8516 if you want to join the combo. We'll be right back. My name is Saul Marquis, El Presidente. Myself, Kevin Chapman, going to be ready to dive into this world of sports. That's a crazy world of sports right here on The Balance Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Mark.
Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
Why would these rivals risk everything? Each is driven to be the one. IndyCar, the one to win the heart of racing. IndyCar welcomes Verizon to the heart of racing and is proud to announce the Verizon IndyCar Series.
The echoes, the legends, the hearts and souls of champions, all will take notice as a new tradition ignites. The inaugural Grand Prix of Indianapolis. New twists, new turns, new thrills. Grand Prix of Indianapolis at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Our story begins now.
Minions, welcome back to The Balance. My name is Saul Martin Wazell, Presidente. I am your leader for the next 2 hours, going to be guiding you through that maze of sports. But joining us also now is really one of the founding fathers of The Balance here, our original co-host of The Balance, Mr. Kevin Chapman. Kevin, welcome back to The Balance. How you doing, sir?
Doing good. How are you?
Never better. It's Saturday morning, man. You know, we do this thing called The Balance. We talk about sports, and I've been doing this for quite a few years now. I know you are part of the original team. It certainly, life puts us in different directions, but so glad that you could make a cameo appearance with us today, sir. So how's life been treating you?
Doing good, although forefather makes me sound really old, man.
Man, we are really old, dude. I noticed the other day gray in your beard. I know I've had gray in my beard for a long time. So, you know, whenever I get up from the studio chair here, my big lounger studio chair here, my knees crack and pop. And so, yeah, you know, forefathers is right. So we're standing by. We're going to be joined by Chris Pettigron, owner-driver, of the Snap-on Tools NHRA funny car, and certainly going to be a great guest for us to talk with him and talk about his Snap-on Tools Toyota Camry. You know, Kevin, I actually get to have a race car in my garage this weekend, as a matter of fact. I'm not going to tell you that just because of purposes of security and this and that and the other. But let's just say that it is a driver that's going to be racing out at Lucas Oil Raceway this weekend. And so because it's going to get a little cold, he said, "Hey, man, can I store your race car in your garage?" Who was I to say no? So I'm going to have a race car in my garage. So I asked him. I said, "You know, I'm not going to charge anything. I just want to take it for a spin."
I already know what he said.
Ha ha! No. Nobody trusts me to drive the race cars. I don't get it. I tell you what. Speaking of race cars, I'd like to get into one of these NHRA funny car. Cars. You know what? I've had Josh Bourne of the MotoGP talk with us, and he said, "Man, I'll take you right on the bike anytime." I said, "Well, if you don't mind a grown man screaming like a girl." And so we've had a few people said they'd take me out. I have not got any takers. And speaking of NHRA, we've got John Force coming up here very, very soon. Not he won't be on today. But we do have John Force coming up on April the 12th. I believe that's next Saturday. And going to be talking about the Force – dynasty, if you will, in NHRA. So exciting times. We really are getting a lot of the closer we get to May, the more race car drivers we're able to get, because they're going to be here in Indianapolis anyway. We flagship here in Indianapolis. So let's you know, we are standing by, so we're just going to kind of what we call a filler time, waiting on Cruz Pentagon to give us a call. So real quickly, Kevin, I know we're going to get in more deeper into this NASCAR conversation, but we look at a lot of changes with NASCAR that's happened over the last year, and especially this past year. What are your thoughts on the new system? And you know what? Actually, we're going to have to hold off on that. We are now joined by Cruz Pentagon, NHRA funny car driver. How are you doing, sir?
Good, Tom. How are you?
Hey, I am fantastic, and I want to apologize, but I do this to a lot of race car drivers that come on my show for the very first time. A lot of times I don't pronounce your name right, so I do apologize, but Cruz Pentagon, did I say that right?
It's Pentagon. You're close.
Pentagon. All right.
Pentagon. Well, there you go.
I tell you what, it's an honor to have our own personal version of Kicking It with the Cruiser. I enjoyed catching up on your vlogs there on your YouTube channel, and that's a great, or NHRA's YouTube channel. Well, I tell you what, it's an honor to have you on. And like I said, we enjoy having a lot of the NHRA drivers. I'm going to be joined by John Force next weekend. But talk with us a little bit about what's going on with you. I know you had a great season last year in the 2013 season. You raced to four victories and then five final round appearances, including one countdown playoff win at Dallas. You just finished off with the Gators. And, of course, everything is getting ready for the big NHRA Nationals here in Indianapolis.
Yeah, we had a good season last year. This year it's starting off slow, but we feel like we're getting close to being where we were, actually beyond where we were last year. We started off changing some things in the off season. So things are getting better. Just take some time. You know, we came close there at the last race in Las Vegas. We went to the semifinals there and just didn't quite have enough to get to that final. But we're getting better. And we're moving up slowly but surely.
Well, I would point out to you, one of the great things about you is not only are you winning races and getting noticed and growing, you're all kind of basically a one-man show. You're your own owner, your own crew chief, your own driver. So we know, you know, just from talking to other drivers who have had that, certainly Ed Carpenter of IndyCar has had an enormous challenge there as well. How big of a challenge is that for you to basically be a one-man show there?
Well, it's a big challenge, you know, and it's something you have to do. Economics play a part in it, and also just, you know, my attention, attention to detail. Plus, I've been doing it for a lot of years. I just feel like if you want to make it work, you have to, you know, roll up your sleeves and do what you have to do. I got to say that I hope I can still do both, because I feel like I'm more valuable as a tuner / crew chief than I am a driver. Not that the driver doesn't have a big role, but really you have to have a fast horse or a fast car. I always use the analogy. I've never known of a jockey winning a race on a not so fast horse. So you've got to have a fast car, and I'm very aware of that. So I put a lot of emphasis and time and effort into making sure that I do my job. I study during the week. I put in the time to make sure that my car goes fast. And as the owner, I'm able to buy, you know, do some of the purchases that are focused on making sure the car has the go fast parts on it. And so, I have a good balance, but it's just been a lot of years doing it. And I've got a good team behind me. Now I don't do it by myself, but I kind of have to do what I have to do. And I enjoy being the underdog, so to speak. It kind of makes it a little more gratifying when you win a race.
Well, absolutely. And our guest co-host for today, Kevin Chapman, is joining us. Kevin, let me ask you this. Do you have any questions for Cruz Pentagon regarding his NHRA season this year?
Well, not really any questions. I noticed I was watching Full Throttle TV, and I know that at one point you always have either a rabbit foot that was not bought, but given to you by your daughter or her photo. Is that still one of your traditions before you do any race?
I'm sorry, what was that? I missed that.
At one time, I know one of your pre-race traditions was, I believe, a photo of your daughter and then or a rabbit's foot in with you. Is that still one of your?
No rabbit's foot. That's a new one. But hey, you know what? Whatever it takes. I have a photo of my daughter. I don't put it in the car with me, but I have a photo of her in the lounge there. But you know, it's one of those things. I've been doing this long enough to know that. You know, it still comes down to preparation, execution, and those things that we deem boring sometimes. But, you know, good game planning and, like I said, good study. And I do a lot of studying during the week, at night. And I feel like that's my advantage sometimes. I'll just sit there going on my laptop studying the data, going, man, I know the competition isn't doing this at this time. So, to me, that gives me a little psychological advantage.
Go ahead, Kevin.
I remember, I believe it was 2 years ago. I could honestly, one of my memories. I didn't get to get down to the race, but every year you have the what I call open house down there for your shops and all.
Right.
And you actually, at the time, the girlfriend I was dating had a little son, and you actually took the time out and talked to him and stuff out at your shop. And I got to say, that was the highlight of his day because he got to actually talk to one of the drivers. So thank you.
Well, yeah, I appreciate you saying that. You know, I've always had a soft spot in my heart for kids because, you know, my dad, we grew up around racing, so he never took us. So we used to get some family friend or whoever to take us to the track and drop us off and then pick us up at the end of the day. So we were a bunch of kids running around trying to get autographs and talk to drivers. And I remember it was so neat to have the drivers take time out for us. And not all of them would, but we remember the ones that did. So I always try to return the favor.
Well, we're talking with Cruz Pentagon. I'm gonna just keep practicing that until I say it wrong enough.
Okay. Hey, you know what? I want you to feel bad because my main competition, John Force, has been calling me Petragon for 25 years. There isn't a T within any front or back part of my name, so it's a funny thing. But hey, no worries.
Well, I tell you what, I don't know which is better or more of an honor to say, hey, my competition is John Force and, of course, his daughter Courtney Force. And Courtney, if I'm not mistaken, here this past week or two, got the fastest qualifying time ever. So I guess that's some good company to be in. If somebody's going to mispronounce your name, I guess that's the guy to do it.
Oh, yeah, it is. Actually, I was at his shop yesterday, and all the years I've been racing, John, I've never been to his shop. I'm a good friend with one of his crew chiefs, Mike Naff, and we're actually looking at some different components that they're going to start selling to the competition. And anyway, I walked through his shop, and I walked out of there thinking, my God, these guys should be kicking our butts all over, up, down one side and the other with that shop, and pretty impressive. But no, it's good to... it's good to race the best, and those guys are good, and John's daughter, Courtney, I called her Ashley the other day. I used to race Ashley Forrest several years back, and the other day we were going up against her in the second round there in Vegas, and I said, hey, who do we race? And then somebody says, I said, do we race Ashley or something like that? But anyway, it's great to have his family tradition, and like I say, John's a great guy to race.
Well, you're not the only one that's made that mistake. He's got enough daughters, I think, that they all get confused from time to time. And certainly John's going to be on our show next week. And we appreciate, Cruz, you taking time to join us. Let's talk a little bit about that, though. You know, we joke around about the competition that you have with the Forces. And, of course, they're not the only one. Fast Jack Beckman, certainly another legendary. And you've got Ron Capps. And, you know, you're just loaded up with some of the best drivers in the world right there with you and by your side. But at the end of the day, they're all out there to get, competing against one another. And so what challenges do you have that you could really share with us on the air on how you approach when you go against these guys? Is your strategy different if you, for example, if you're against Jack Beckman or Courtney Force, or is it the same as if you're racing, against, Matt Hagan, for example?
Well, that's a good question. I used to change strategy for different drivers, but through the years you learn to race them all the same, as boring as that sounds. I used to have, like I said, I used to, think of the drivers differently, but they're all so good now, and they're all so close together that you know, you kind of race in the cars, and the crew chiefs is the way I look at it, especially now that I tune my own car. I kind of look at what are their tendencies. Do I have to press hard against this driver more than others as far as the setup of the car? So I do that more than I do the drivers themselves. Because like I say, they're all good. They all get good reaction times. And, you know, you just have to really to be good at it and to race smart, you need to treat them all the same. But like I said, I do think about it when I'm setting the car up prior to racing them. I do give it a second thought of, okay, what are their tendencies? Are they the track, and all of it depends on the track conditions. There's some guys you go, man, these guys are going to press the issue, or there's some guys that you'll say, well, they're probably going to take it easy, so then I'm going to, you know, whatever, do whatever I'm going to do. So it's kind of more team related as it is, as opposed to just one focus on one guy.
Kevin, go ahead.
Well, you know, Tom, you, before Cruz got on here, you mentioned that you wanted to drive a car. He just mentioned that maybe he would be better suited not to do the driving, do the tune-up, so maybe you two could work on it and you drive the car.
Well, there you go. That sounds like a plan. And, you know, Cruz, here's the thing. If you let me drive, for example, against Courtney Force or John Force, you know, there's no blame that comes back to you. You could just say, hey, you know, I'm just the owner. The driver gets out there and does it.
Hey, I use that strategy now. You know, I can hide behind the car performance or the driver. It depends on what side I need to be on, you know. And I actually have a nickname for my crew chief, Juan Mota. And the reason why I have that, somebody made a joke one time is how do you balance the two? And I said, well, I put a different hat on, and somehow somebody turned that into alter ego, but like a second person. But it really, I kind of try to play it both sides. But at the end, you know, when I call in the car and I do put that helmet on, it's time to be the driver. When I take it off, it's time to be the crew chief. So I told somebody the other day, I'm tired at the end of the weekend, but I wouldn't want it any other way now. As long as I can physically do it and not get burned out or too tired, hey, I'm enjoying it.
Well, we're talking with Cruz Pegron, NHRA Funny Car driver, certainly a champion back in 2008. Talking about being a one-car owner, driver, crew chief, does it all himself. But one of the things that I would talk with you about, that I talk with a lot of the NHRA drivers about, especially just because the danger is so much more present with NHRA Funny Car as opposed to a lot of the other driving series that it is. I remember Jack Beckman, ironically enough, as it was, and you probably remember this a couple years ago, when it was rained out there at Lucas and we just had nothing but rain. And so that's a good opportunity for us media guys, because everybody's ready to talk. Everybody's willing to talk. So it was a good day. So they kind of loaded us up, but we had an opportunity to talk with Jack Beckman. And I asked him, I said, you know, when you get into that situation, you have no time to think. And you look at the bad accident that he had, that's just remarkable to this day. If you look at the footage of the accident that he had just a few races after that race there at the U.S. Nationals at Lucas Oil Raceway. And I asked him, I said, Jack, is there ever that moment where you just, because the instinct kicks in, and he says, and then after it's all said and done, I have the old crap moment. And he's a lot of fun to talk with, but you as a one-car driver, how do you prepare for what every driver knows could happen and may happen in the race a lot, and that's especially in the funny car. We'll just call it a spontaneous explosion, because when that car goes, everything goes. And how you guys ever manage to walk out of that safely amazes me yet to this day. But what kind of preparations and training do you do to prepare yourself mentally and physically for an event like that?
Well, one of the things I try to do is not think about it too much when I'm in the car. You know, you might run across your mind, okay, if the car smokes the tires, but does this, I'm going to do this, kind of pre-plan your moves, depending on if it's qualifying. If it's qualifying, generally, you don't want to get back on the throttle, because these engines are very explosive. They're 8,000 horsepower. If you're on race day, you know, your strategy is, okay, we're going to get back on the throttle and try to win the round. Depending on if you feel like you can catch your opponent. But what I try to do as an owner, I try to make sure that I have all the equipment logged in, and we're not running stuff longer than we should, and we And as a tuner, I try to make sure I don't over, what we call over-tune the car. In other words, put more compression or more blower, supercharger, overdrive, or whatever, push the engine so hard that we're putting ourselves in harm's way. So I have a comfortable feeling when I get in the car that I know I'm not doing anything off the wall. And not that other crew chiefs do that. I mean, these engines break parts, you know, valve train, and they're still a push rod engine. So you still have that – there's always going to be that danger. But, you know, I just try to do all I can, strap up, you know, make sure my helmet's on tight, make sure I'm in there tight, and, you know, you just go with it. It's just like get on a bull. You know, you can get a horn on the side or wherever. You just got to just, you know, block it out, and the desire to win and to perform is overtakes all out of this stuff. So, you know, these drivers, it looks bad, probably worse than it is on the outside, or it's worse looking than it is on the inside. But, you know, that goes back, ultimately it goes back to the safety. The fire suits are super thick. We have good helmets. You know, and the NHRA has a ballistic blankets covering the engine. So, you know, it may shred the body and look all crazy, but I would say cars are safer. Now, if you go back to the 70s and look at funny car fires or the 80s, man, them fires would stay in the car and the body would stay on the car and it would burn the entire time the driver's trying to stop the car. Now, if you look at it, much like Indy cars, the energy dissipates. So you have a you know, the removal of the body. And so, you know, the fire goes out right away. So, you know, it's you know, you'll never have a race car, or a driver should never think he's perfectly safe. I mean, the best, safest place to be in the grandstands or home watching, but you know, hey, we, that little element of danger gets our adrenaline up.
Hey, I'll tell you what, though, I'm glad you say the safest place to be is in the grandstands or the stands. I took Michelle Jones, our producer, one of our producers, out there a couple years ago and took her on top of the media center building there at Lucas Oil and scared the living crap out of her, especially when, I mean, you just feel the hose shaking. And so she thought that she was just going to fall down on it there. So it was kind of a fun experience. And certainly, and that's one of the things I like about NHRA. It is very, very fan-friendly. It allows you to be up and close to the racing,
right,
so much more so. Nothing against IndyCar or NASCAR, and certainly we cover a lot of that on our show as well. But just so much more fan-friendly, and one of the few places where a ticket gets you a pit pass as well. Now, you mentioned about riding a bull. Now, I have ridden one of those mechanical bulls before, and Kevin, I know you've been there before. That was not a pretty sight, and Kevin, you've ridden one of those before too. So, Kevin, we got to kind of, we're up against the clock here, so we want to make sure that we keep cruise to the schedule that we talked about. So, Kevin, we'll go ahead and give you one more question.
Yeah, I was just, as a NHRA driver, do you follow any other type of racing? I know some pretty much just stick to their own style and don't really follow any of the others. Do you do any of that?
Oh, absolutely. You can call me a big fan of oval track racing, not so much the NASCAR. I'm a big fan of the ASCS Sprint Car Series, the World of Outlaw Sprint Car Series. These are wing sprint cars. And I follow the Nationwide. Of course, I just saw that Bill Elliott's son, Chase Elliott, won the Busch, the Nationwide race yesterday. So I do, and I follow NASCAR. I mean, some of those guys, I remember when I was through my open wheel days, you know, that came up through the ranks. So, yeah, Formula One, a little bit of Formula One, not so much like I used to, but, yeah, I'm a, are you kidding me? I love, I've got the apps on my phone, and, yeah, I'm a big fan of all racing.
Well, I tell you what, we're a big fan of watching you, and it's really been a good honor of having you on the show here on The Balance for the very first time. I always like to give people an opportunity to talk about whatever's on their mind, maybe some things we didn't touch on. I know you've got the Spring Nationals coming up in Houston around the 25th. I know you guys have got that coming up. What are some of the things that you've got coming up or something you'd like to talk with us about? Anything at all, open mic to you, sir.
Well, you know, the Texas races are always important to me and close to my heart. My family is from Texas, my parents and their families, and we swept both Texas races last year, Houston and Dallas, so always love coming back there. are coming, you know, that part of the country. And we're just looking forward to getting the Snap-on Toyota back on track. You know, we're 11th in points now, and we're, you know, we're we've had the last three seasons of finishing in the top five in the last, you know, last three seasons in a row. So we're hoping to keep that record alive. So I feel like the fans that can watch us on ESPN2, not this weekend, but the next week, can watch the 4-Wide. And if you've never been, now I want to invite you to come out and check out this sport. It's great, great sport, great family fun. And, oh, by the way, 12 and under, kids 12 and under are free now. So check us out, guys.
Well, we look forward to it, and obviously we're a national show, too, so if you're out there in Texas, get out there and watch Cruz Pedagogy. Cruz, where can people find your work, your masterpieces, and check out your video blog, Kicking It with the Cruiser?
You got it. Thanks, guys. Well, you're asking me where they can?
Yeah. I always like to let the drivers give that information out.
Yeah, they can check my blogs out on NHRA.com. We do a weekly blog there, or actually after every race. Or they can just at Chris Pedregon for Twitter. And we're working on a new website, ChrisPedregon.com, so check that out in the next coming couple of weeks. And I'm on Facebook, so we're easily accessible, and I do it all myself. So, like you said, I'm a one-man band. I believe in doing it, so the fans have direct contact with me.
Well, I tell you what, we're looking forward to having you back on the show here again in the future, Cruz, and we wish you all the best of luck in 2014, and stay safe out there, sir, and we're looking forward to sitting down and talking with you again when you get back here to Indianapolis.
All right, Tom, I appreciate the time.
All right, thank you.
Thank you, guys.
Cruz Pedregon, it's NHRA funny car driver. What a good interview that was to talk with him about, his driving. And that's one of the things I like about NHRA. They are so personable and so down to earth. Nothing against the other driving series, but I can tell you one thing. The drivers with NHRA are just so down to earth, and really enjoy talking with them. My name is Tom Mark with Sale Presidente. Going to take a break. Be right back. Myself with Kevin Chapman. Going to break down IndyCar from last week. What happened out there in St. Petersburg, NASCAR race. And we're going to fit all that in the next 30 minutes, because at 10 o'clock, we're going to be breaking down your 5-4. My name is Tom Mark with Sale Presidente. The numbers, 917-889-8516 is the digits. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
The echoes, the legends, the hearts and souls of champions. All will take notice as a new tradition ignites. The inaugural Grand Prix of Indianapolis. New twists, new turns, new thrills. Grand Prix of Indianapolis at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Our story begins now.
Soccer is the world's game.
And it has deep roots in Indiana.
It lives in our backyard.
In our rec league.
En nuestras escuelas.
Indy 11 is here.
And make no mistake, this is Indiana's team.
It was built from the ground up.
Brick by brick by soccer fans. When we take the field next April, we'll be playing for you.
For me. Para mí.
For us.
This is my team.
Este es mi equipo.
This is our team.
This is your team.
It's time.
It's going to be awesome.
I'm going to be there.
Voy a estar ahí. I'll be there.
This isn't just any soccer team. This is Indiana's team, and that includes you.
Why would these rivals? heart of racing and is proud to announce the Verizon IndyCar Series.
The Balance. My name is Tom Mark Wazell, Presidente. So good to have you along on a Saturday morning. Man, we do this thing every Saturday morning called The Balance. We started it a few years ago as just a little old podcast. And wow, have we grown. And we thank you, Arminians, for making that happen. Make sure you're following us on Twitter at TBalance. And our entire family, by the way, Pro Indy. And if you're an IndyCar fan, at IndyAndMay.com. And by the way, you guys want to really get in tune and connected and plugged in with IndyAndMay.com, because we are full force season now with IndyCar. And certainly all gearing up for the Indianapolis, the inaugural Indianapolis Grand Prix and the Indianapolis 500. And we'll be out there in full force with the entire Balance team out there covering everything from every corner. And, of course, our track reports. And, by the way, if you want to be a sponsor of the track reports, we do have some sponsorships available for that. So give us a call. 317-903-8063 is our office number. Well, joining us now is one of our original co-hosts of the Balance here, and way back when we were just a little old podcast, Mr. Kevin Chapman, who decided to explore. Define this just a little bit better. Kevin decided that he was going to explore his lifelong dream to be a chef. And so he's done that and is doing that. And so I ran into him, and he's like, "Hey, man, like, come back on the Balance." So we got him back on here, and we'll see if after today if he wants to come back on again. But welcome back, Kevin. You know, we're going to get into some Final Four talk, and we're going to get into some NASCAR talk and so forth. So, with you and your chef experience, maybe you can enlighten us with some great couch potato recipes.
We could talk about that.
Oh, no, are we going to see you on The Taste or Hell's Kitchen or something like that coming up or what?
Yeah, I tried out for Master. Well, I submitted the application for Master Chef, and it got rejected because what I didn't realize was if you have any training at all, if you have any formal training, you can't be on the show. So I definitely won't be on that one, and I don't think I have the patience to deal with Chef Ramsay yelling at me like on a Hell's Kitchen.
I love that show. And you know what? I'm sorry I gave you all your professional training, man, and I held you back. Man, so my apologies to you. Well, let's get back into the point here. Get back on point here. Let's talk a little bit about NASCAR. We'll get into some IndyCar because we certainly want to talk about that big race out at St. Petersburg, and Will Power winning it? Should he have won it? Should he not have won it? Especially with the restart, a lot of things that happened out there at St. Petersburg. But let's talk with Kevin. Let's talk a little bit about NASCAR. Certainly, my question to you, and we'll just start there with that question, because Cruz gave us a call right at the time I asked you that question. You got a lot of changes going on in the NASCAR, the point systems, and everything surrounding NASCAR. And I know you follow NASCAR a lot as a fan yourself. So as you sit back and you look at NASCAR as a fan, good, bad, indifferent, talk with us about your thoughts on that.
Well, I like the new qualifying system where it's not just one car out there, goes around the circle, and you call it a day. I like the new system there. The chase, I don't know. I think the chase is going to continue to be a fine-tuning. I am going to be interested in seeing how the new system works where you go three races and then 12 through 9 drop out, you go into another three races, and then 9 through 6 drop out. I think it's going to change the mindset so much. Sometimes I think in the past the chase was win one or two and then just try to be in the top five, and you have a shot at the end. I don't think that's going to work with the new system. So I think it's going to be better racing when it comes to the chase this year.
Well, let's look at that. When we look at the point systems and we look at how the new points are set up, we got basically what I would call, for all intents and purposes, a playoff system.
Right.
Which, you know, talk with us a little bit about maybe for the novice fan that doesn't follow NASCAR on a regular basis, clicking the channels and saying, oh, well, you know, let's watch some NASCAR, really doesn't follow it into the great sick obsessions that we have of the race. What is different about last year, 2013, and this year, 2014, in getting to the championship?
Well, during the regular season, not much there has changed, other than in the past, it's been 10 drivers. I think some of the things that might have changed that, people have been complaining about it ever since they switched to the chase. And, of course, the first year bothered me because if they didn't switch to the chase, my favorite driver would have won the championship, which happens to be Jeff Gordon. But so the first year kind of bothered me, but I like the chase idea. I like the playoff system. I think it brings more racing involved. But last year, if you remember, there's instead of 10, they actually had 12 because of some, for lack of a better term, cheating going on the very last race, and Jeff Gordon ended up in as number 12.
Right. Yeah, okay, I'm sorry. I thought you were going to say something else about that. I apologize. Well, right, and you know, let me ask you this, and we're getting into that conversation here, and I certainly want to talk a little bit about Texas and get into this IndyCar race, but let me ask you this, and we've talked to various different people on the show here, but let me ask you this, was there some cheating going on with the radio communication between team members?
Last year, yeah, there was definitely some. I mean, if you listen to the broadcast of the radio conversation. I mean, they were purposely slowing down, purposely wanting cautions, and it almost worked. Unfortunately, what I think people don't realize sometimes in the heat of the moment is there's not a single word said on the radio that NASCAR is not monitoring 24/7 during that race. So, you know, obviously, there's some definite evidence. Otherwise, people wouldn't have been pulled from the chase and people added to that last year. But then, you know, teammates are teammates, and I hate to say this, but the reality is in any sport, to a certain level, stuff like that happens. It just happens to be in NASCAR. It's recorded on radio. So, you know, you can't get away with it quite as much there helping a teammate out.
Well, you know, and I'm all for helping teammates out and, you know, certainly we see that happen in IndyCar a lot. But I'm just wondering, at what point do you cross the line and say, hey, you know, let's stop with this secret signal stuff on pitting and not pitting. And especially if you don't stand a chance of winning the race, let's do a little secret handshake, if you will. And you know, even though you're a team, and no matter if you're a huge team or a small team, the competitive rules should be the same for everybody. And in my opinion, I just think that NASCAR gave themselves a huge black eye when that happened. Hopefully they can redeem themselves. Quite frankly, I don't think anybody wants to pay the kind of money that they pay to go to see these races for cheating. And, you know, as wild as NASCAR fans are and as rambunctious as they are and they love to see their drivers win, I think every NASCAR fan out there wants to see them win honest Steven, fair and square. Certainly, I guess there's probably people that would disagree with that. But, you know, at the same time, you got to get out there and do it fair. We don't have time to get into that conversation. I wish that we did. We're out there at Texas this week. Big race at Texas. Everything's big at Texas. And, heck, they get to shoot off guns in victory lane. So as you look at Texas and the Texas Motor Speedway. Real quickly, give us a breakdown. We know Chase Elliott won his very first nationwide race out there in Texas, and certainly a young kid winning big out there in Texas. So, Kevin, give us a preview of what's coming up this weekend in the world of NASCAR.
Well, obviously, today is 3:30 is the race, and the nation's favorite driver won the pole. So everybody should be happy, at least with the way the race starts. You know, with Earnhardt Jr. on the pole, who can't be happy in NASCAR?
Right. We got to get you back to some training, man. I got to know when you're done or you're continuing your thoughts. You're just like a dead stop there, and I'm like, okay.
Well, we just need to most when next time we'll be like with each other, so it'll be a little bit better. But
no problem. Good.
It's a large track. We'll have some good racing. Your top 10 is filled with some pretty well known names. Some of your smaller, you know, Marcus Ambrose, well known for road courses, getting better ovals. You got Danica Patrick is ninth. We'll see where she finishes. She usually starts out well and ends up in a wreck. Some caused by her, some not. You know, the interesting thing for me this year, and it seemed to work okay so far, is Stuart Haas Racing. I'm not worried about their cars. I mean, they get their engines from Hendrick Motors. Obviously, they have pretty decent engines, or you wouldn't have a 5- and 4-time champion driving cars there. But the chemistry really confused me when they signed Busch, Harvick, considering that on the track over the last couple of years, they haven't really gotten along too well. So that surprised me, probably the biggest thing about the Haas Racing this year.
Well, and I totally agree with you, and I wish that we had some time to really get more in depth of some of the soap operas that that NASCAR has found themselves in, you know, from the number three car returning with Austin Dillon. I'm a fan of that. I know a lot of people are not. Petty and Danica, maybe Petty's just being petty. The ironic thing out at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway Hall of Champions Museum out there, Danica's car and Petty's car are right next to each other. So that's kind of what we call irony. I wish we had time to get into the conversations about that. But give us a call, 917-889-8516. We've got just a little bit of time left to talk racing. We're going to get into some of this IndyCar drama. Speaking of drama and speaking of soap operas in the racing series, if you will, you know, willpower. And, you know, I don't know. Obviously, there wasn't anything deemed wrong that Will Power did in that race back in St. Petersburg. But at the same time, we just look at all the situations that happen in and around there with Will Power. And, you know, the issue in the restarts, and just, there were some things that happened, and then Will Power did end up ultimately winning the race. So, you know, maybe we wouldn't be having the same conversation if it was somebody different, but at the same time, Will Power won the race. And if you want to add conspiracy theory mix in that, because this is the balance here, so we'll listen to any theory. I don't think that there was any conspiracy, if you will, with Verizon sponsorship, Will Power, and some of the things that happened that ultimately led to the win. Kevin, did you see the race out there in St. Petersburg last week?
No, unfortunately, I was working down as a chef, but I did hear about some of it, and I have to agree. I think sometimes we want to put barriers in things that really there's not a need for it. I think this is one of those where I really don't think it had a conspiracy with Verizon being involved.
Well, we will see. Apparently, IndyCar agrees with that. Now, Will Power is number one. Ryan Hunter-Reay, Helio Castroneves, number three. Scott Dixon, And rounding off your top five, Simon Padigon. I got to learn. I always have an issue with these drivers' names, and I, you know what, I'm just a red blood American guy from Southern Indiana. I tell you. Well, let's get into some of this IndyCar Long Beach action going on this week, Kevin. As you look at the IndyCar race out in Long Beach, certainly another street court race. We're looking forward to the Indianapolis Grand Prix here in Indianapolis, the inaugural Indianapolis Grand Prix. So we look at Long Beach this weekend. What are some of the things that come to mind for you?
Yeah, I look forward to getting this. Unfortunately, I hate to say this, but getting this week over with the open wheel. May, I just want April to end and May to roll around for open wheel. I have to say that I know I live in Indy and I'm biased, but I still don't think there's any better racing, any better weekend than when it's here. So we'll see how this week turns out. I know we've got Kurt. I believe it's either Kurt or Kyle. I believe it's Kyle Busch that's looking at possibly dipping into the Indy 500 this year, so it's going to be interesting.
It is a Busch. I don't know which Busch it is off the top of my head here. I think it's Kurt Busch that's actually going to be running the double this year. Interesting to see how that's going to pan out there. Well, Long Beach hosts its first standing start of the year. So, you know, a lot of people have a lot of different thoughts and theories on the standing starts with IndyCar. Do you have a thought on that, Kevin, on the standing start itself?
No, I unfortunately, you are definitely more of the open wheel master when it comes to following it and so forth than I am. So I don't have an opinion either way on that.
Call me master again. I am the master of open wheel racing. I wish I could let us.
Self-proclaimed, by the way.
Self-proclaimed. Well, there's a reason that I'm El Presidente, because I am the master. You're hired, Kevin, full time. 917-889-8516. Follow us on Twitter, T Balance. Also on Facebook, The Balance. I'll tell you what, as we look back at St. Petersburg, getting back on point, a lot of things, a lot of action happened out there in the St. Petersburg race that, you know, we see happen in the street court races, course races that we don't see in the oval races. And so that's one of the exciting things that's going to be about watching IndyCar in Indianapolis at the IMS on the road course. And how exciting is that going to be to see that transform in 1 month, in the entire month of May, Kevin, from a street course to an oval course, and all IndyCar. So, you know, there used to be a time here in Indianapolis, and, you know, we refer to Indianapolis because we flagship here in Indianapolis, but there used to be a time here in Indianapolis where it was the entire month of May for racing that was dedicated to IndyCar and IndyCar racing. So I think this brings that back. And so whether or not you're a fan of the oval or you're a fan of the street course, you're going to, or the road course, I should say, you're going to find something that you like here in Indianapolis at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway this year.
I agree, and we needed that here. Unfortunately, the fan base, but the crowd numbers were slowly going down. So I think it was very great decision of them to, like you said, bring some of them road course fans in that really didn't want to come to the oval but would love to be for a road course.
Well, as we look at the Indianapolis 500 this year, what are some of the things that you look forward to moving forward to the Indianapolis 500? We're just right around the corner. We're literally right around the corner until we hit May. And I tell you what, I am excited about that. Check us out on IndyInMay.com, and, you know, we'll have all of the everything to do with NDMA.com. Of course, you know, official results and then practice today out at Long Beach begins at 1:30, I believe. Practice, I'm sorry, 1 o'clock to 1:45, the practice three-section qualifications. And round one, group one, 4:15 to 4:25 qualifications. Round one, group two, 4:35 to 4:45 qualifications. Round two, 4:55 to 5:05 qualifications. Round three, 5:15 to 5:25. And then the final practice tomorrow, 12 to 12:30, and the big race, 4:40 p.m. out at Long Beach to 7:30 p.m. Here on in the Eastern time zone, if you will. Certainly there's a bit of a difference between time zone between Indianapolis and Long Beach. Well, I tell you what, Kevin Chapman, that's going to wrap it up. You know, we got just a couple minutes here. What couch potato recipes do you have for us for the end of this segment, sir?
Well, you know, everybody's got to like some red potatoes. So I would say for a good hearty thing, just get some red potatoes, dice them up, get some butter with some lemon juice to where it has a little bit of a lemon flavor. Pour that over the potatoes, put them in the oven for about 30 minutes, and I'll tell you what, even if you're not a potato guy, you'll like them.
Well, there you have it. So, what is the title of that red potato? Do you have a name for it?
My roasted red potatoes.
Roasted red potatoes. All right, myself.
I'm redneck from Philly. I don't have big names.
Redneck from Philly. I love it. All right, guys, we're going to take a break. We'll be right back. Hour number two, right around the corner. Myself, Kevin Chapman, Matt Hicks from 1070 The Fan, going to be joining us, talking with us about your Final Four. And, well, we're going to talk a little bit about the Pacers in the final half hour. We're going to mix it all up in our own roasted red potato recipe of the balance. We'll be right back right here on the Balance Radio Network.
I'm sexy and I know it. I'm sexy and I know it.
For over 100 years, the Indianapolis Motor Speedway has been the epicenter of racing, with the highest forms of motorsports all competing at Indy.
And Tony Kanaan has won the 97th running of the Indianapolis 500.
Over a century ago, the Speedway's designers had visions of a road course nestled inside the famed oval. And now, for the first time ever, the stars of the Indianapolis 500 will also run on the road course circuit.
It's so different than the Indy 500, I don't think it takes away from that. You can't even compare it to the oval. It's so different.
IndyCar drivers are the fastest and most versatile in the world. And now we'll be challenged by the 2.5-mile oval and the road course, both at the racing capital of the world.
Why not use this facility as much as you can? And this makes a lot of sense in my mind, and so if we have a chance to come here and race on the road course, hey, I'm all for it.
Next May, the racing action starts with the inaugural Grand Prix of Indianapolis.
It's pretty physical. There are a lot of fast corners. It's hard on your neck. Heavy braking into turn one. It's a good track.
This history-making event takes the green flag on Saturday, May 10, 2014. For the latest information, go to gpofindianapolis.com.
Verizon to the heart of racing and is proud to announce the Verizon IndyCar Series.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
All right, welcome back to The Balance. My name is Tom Mark Wassell, Presidente. What a great first hour that we had. I tell you what, it was good to have Cruz Pedagon, NHRA Funny Car driver, joining us, talking with us about his 2014 season and getting geared up for the U.S. Nationals here in Indianapolis. And I would point out, speaking of NHRA, next week right here on the Balance Radio Network at 9:10 a.m. You do not want to miss this. One of the greatest NHRA drivers of all time is going to be right here on our show, Mr. John Force. Certainly the father of Brittany, Courtney, Ashley, and the Force dynasty, if you will, in NHRA. So that is one interview you do not want to miss, and we're very excited to have him back here on The Balance. John Force next Saturday. Well, I tell you what, our next guest is right up there with the greatness of John Force, Matt Hicks of 1070 The Fan. How we doing, sir?
Well, better now.
Hey, I tell you what, man. Anything I can do to help you out. Also joining us, our guest host today, my original co-host of the show, Mr. Kevin Chapman. He decided that he was going to go elsewhere and become a chef, and so he's actually making money, and we're not. So that's how it works in radio. So Kevin's joining us as well, and you know, with us here on the Balance, there's always a reason why something is played. So you just kind of it's like a soap opera. You got to watch what happened before. So there's a reason that I played Blurred, because everybody's vision is blurred, I guess, when it comes to the brackets and the Final Four. Now, Kevin, I know in the Balance bracket, you picked Florida. You were the only one that did so. You and Michelle Jones, our producer, was the only people left standing. She had Michigan, you had Florida. So it's not official that you're now the champion, per se, but you're the only one left playing. So, you know, it's kind of like you're running an uncontested race. My brackets imploded, so we invited Matt Hicks of 1070 The Fan here in Indianapolis, also the sidekick of one Mr. Jersey Johnny, and talk with us about the Final Four and certainly about the impact that it had on us here in Indianapolis. And also, we're going to talk in a few moments, we're going to talk about the Pacers, who have now lost six in a row, WTF. Yeah, I had to fit that in there because, you know, I now talk in Texas lingo, Matt. So,
so OMG. We can, right?
OMG, LOL. Talk with us about
Come on,
talk with us, Matt, a little bit about March Madness and what brought us to the Final Four. Maybe outside of UConn, no big surprises there.
Yeah, I think that's probably fair to say. Wisconsin is a team that you really can't ever discredit, really. By the style they play. They play their game and force you to play it with them. So, no, that's not a huge surprise. I think the biggest game that I had the most interest in was Kentucky and Wichita State, because that answered the question that a lot of college basketball experts had been asking. Wichita State was a solid veteran team against Kentucky, that was a team of one-and-dones, and what would prevail. And Kentucky had matured to the point that they were able to get past that veteran team and really outplay Wichita State pretty handily. So I think that was kind of I think that will be the story of this tournament, that the one-and-dones can get it done, and win championships, and that is a legitimate way to try and make your way through the tournament. It doesn't probably bode well for your regular season, as we saw with Kentucky. And then, like you said, Florida, probably not too much of a surprise with Florida. They're a team that's going to give their best every time out. They're a veteran team, but there's a lot of very talented freshmen in this Final Four, and then you throw in the veteran Wisconsin. So it'll be very interesting to see how this plays out this weekend. But, you know, a great couple of games in Indianapolis, that's for sure.
Well, absolutely, and we look at that Michigan game. It could have gone either way there. So what's the takeaway when you look at that Michigan game to the Final Four? That I think that game in a lot of ways sums up what the March Madness is all about. I mean, it's a one and done. You win, you're out. And literally taking it to the final breath, if you will. What's the takeaway from a game like that in March Madness?
Well, just that every possession counts, you know, and it's cliched to say that, but it really is true. I mean, you look at it and you see that legitimately every possession means something. And you know, you have Kentucky coming out by three on that one, and it could have gone either way. Obviously, Kentucky is, yes, probably more talented from a raw standpoint, but Michigan's well coached and had a great year, not only winning the regular season Big Ten title, but winning the conference championship, too, in the tournament here in Indy. So, yeah, I think what you take away is, it's funny because we talk about this a lot on Sundays, but you can't take a playoff, a game off, because all of a sudden, at the end of the season, you're one game away from having the number one seed or you're 3 points away from going for the Final Four. It all matters, and I think that's a microcosm of that right there. 75-72, several things go another way, and this is a completely different result. So I think it's a good teachable moment for those young people, but unfortunately for Michigan, there'll be some of those kids that move on and don't have a chance to make up for their woes.
Well, we're also joined by Kevin Chapman, our original co-host of The Balance way back when we were just way back in a little tiny small podcast, I guess. Kevin, any questions for Matt Hicks at 1070 The Fan?
No, not right now. I was unfortunately working for most of the games downtown, but the Michigan-Kentucky game, I think it surprised a lot of people because they felt Kentucky was going to be too young, and they won it last against a team like Michigan, which is the one reason that Kentucky scares me, because they are young. So I think what we need to remember about a team like that is this: what you see now is going to be even that much better next year.
Are you there, Matt?
Yeah, go ahead. I think Kevin's right. You know, you look at a Kentucky and you say, now, granted, you have a situation where you could have six guys leave that team to go pro, and that's a legitimate possibility. Just to name a few, Julius Randle, the Harris twins could all go, and they'll all be first-round picks. And so you don't know what's coming back, but Calipari has subscribed to this. Okay, that's fine. We will move forward. And he's already got another great recruiting class. I think when you talk about young, you also have to consider, and this is something Bob Lovell always says, sometimes when you're young, you're also dumb, and you're too dumb to know that you're not supposed to win. And I think Kentucky is a combination of that and the other dangerous thing, confident. They're very confident in their ability. And, yeah, they are a team that could win this whole thing, just from a raw talent standpoint, and they're a team that could get blown out by 20 tomorrow night, too, because of the consideration that they are so young.
Well, let's break this down. I want to make sure that we get the entire Final Four champion and possible championship game put together for us here. So let's break this down. The Florida Gators. Kevin, I know that's who you got going as the national champions. The Connecticut Huskies, or we call them UConn. I don't know that we call these guys an underdog because they are as good as we expected them to be. And I put some stock in seeding, But as we have seen, seeding is not necessarily indicative of where you're going to end up in the championship game, if at all. So the number one Florida Gators, certainly as expected, but the UConn Huskies, I think, really can give a run for the money for the Florida Gators, Matt.
Oh, yeah. I think the way UConn is playing, and then you throw in the guard play with Shabazz, I mean, yeah, this is a legitimate now championship-contending team. I do like Florida in this game just because Florida is to a point now where they have met every challenge. What are they're on like a 30-some game winning streak now. I mean, they've really put a heck of a run together. I like Florida in this game just from a simple standpoint of it's guard versus bigs almost. The bigs in Florida, I think, are going to overpower UConn. But as you said, you know, UConn is quick. They're well coached. Kevin Ollie has done just an outstanding job with this team. And yes, you're absolutely right. They could pull the upset here later today. And then the other game with Wisconsin and Kentucky, I think that's going to be a real knockdown drag out. And I would not be surprised to see either team win, but I do give the slight edge to Kentucky setting up that SEC championship game rematch for all the marbles Monday night.
Well, I tell you what, John Calipari has actually, you know, haters will be haters and naysayers will be naysayers. But one thing about it, John Calipari has proved that he could take his team and, you know, and he actually renamed the one and done, Matt, to succeed and proceed. And you know. And so what a good terminology, if you will. And we'll probably, 10, 15 years down the road, we'll be in some doctor's office or something and see that. It says succeed and proceed. Maybe as we get older in our physical therapy office or something. You know, you see the Vince Lombardi quotes everywhere. That's what it's going to be. Succeed and proceed. And, you know, that's what we can apply that in just about anything in life as well. Well, let's talk a little bit about the UK game and obviously against the Wisconsin Badgers. Going to be a battle. Any which way you put it, the Kentucky Wildcats and the Wisconsin Badgers are probably going to be the best game of the day. 8:45 today. So you look at the Badgers, there again, right there to the buzzer. Every possession counts. Kentucky, every possession counts. That's how they've won it all the way through. There's been a couple times that Wichita State played Kentucky to the buzzer. There's been some good teams play Kentucky to the buzzer. Wisconsin the same way. I really think this is going to be, for lack of better words to put it, a Braveheart bloodbath out there in Dallas.
Yeah, you know, you look at – here's something I'm curious about, and I don't know Kentucky inside and out like in Indiana or some of the other local schools, but – I'm willing to bet Kentucky has not played as a disciplined team in Wisconsin this season. Kentucky, with their youth, the big challenge for them in this game is to not get ahead of themselves. Wisconsin runs kind of that old Butler offense, using the entire shot clock until they get a good shot. Kentucky cannot be wasteful in their possessions because that's how Kentucky gets you. Wisconsin gets you. They want those extra possessions to be able to build a lead and then play that stifling defense on you. They play defense for all 35 seconds of the shot clock, and they play offense for all 35 seconds of the shot clock. And that's why I think this could be a really, really interesting game. It could get out of hand, but I like to think Kentucky can be well-coached and disciplined enough to stay in this game and then let their athleticism take over in the second half. But you can't discount Kaminsky for Wisconsin. He's a skilled big that can shoot the ball, rebound well. That could give Kentucky fits. But boy, Kentucky's just so talented. You know, you talk about Julius Randle, you talk about the Harris twins, the Harrison twins. You know, it's just a deal where they may have too much for Wisconsin.
Well, we're talking with Matt Hicks at 1070 The Fan here in Indianapolis. Sidekicks also to greats like Jersey Johnny and Bob Lovell. So, I mean, this guy knows his stuff. I'm just telling you. So, 917-889-8516 if you want to talk about the Final Four championship game. We've got about 15 minutes left in this conversation with some Final Four. Kevin, go ahead.
Well, this is I don't think I've ever heard who his picks was for the final.
That was my design, Kevin, because I purposely – no, I'm just kidding. Go ahead.
Well, I think it's I do think it's going to be Kentucky and Florida in the final, and I like Florida to win it. Something screams to me about Florida this year that they're just kind of on a mission. Yes, they did lose two games, obviously, but I just feel like they are just focused enough and talented enough and the right combination of each to get this done. They're well coached, of course, as all four of these teams are. But it's a gut feeling. It's a really a pick. I mean, if you look at Vegas, I think, I think Florida's the biggest favorite today at 6.5. Kentucky's the favorite tonight at 1.5. So it's obviously a pretty close contest. But I give the edge to Florida. I think a Florida Kentucky rematch in the championship game is going to be wildly entertaining, but I just think the veteran leadership and defensive prowess of Florida is going to be the one that gets them through the day.
All right, real quickly, guys, let's get your championship game predictions and who's going to be in, who's going to win, and let's get into just a little bit of NBA talk while we still got a little bit of time. Matt, who gets to the championship game and who wins?
I like Florida, Kentucky, and then Florida to win.
Kevin.
I'm going to go with the same. Of course, you know I'm picking Florida to win.
Yeah, we already know you're going to pick the win. Well, I'll tell you what. I because I have no dog in the fight, and, you know, I'm going to have to go against the grain here. So I'm going to go UConn and Wisconsin, and UConn wins it all. So we'll see. You know, and again, it's a little bit against my grain to go with the, and I hate to use this even in comparison to a description of me, the liberal way of looking at it. But I think the conservative safe bet would be you guys have your safe bets there. I think, though, that this, if anything I have learned from the March Madness this year is that the unexpected always happens. So I look for UConn to win a national championship. And besides that, who wants to get showed up by a bunch of girls when it comes to national championships, right, Matt? So, all right, well, let's get into some NBA talk, and we'll just kind of talk about some of these players making a break to the NBA, and we'll start, obviously, with what we know from teams a little bit closer to home, and IU has a Noah Vonleh that's going to be, I think he's going to be making a break to the NBA. Am I correct on that, or is he going to play another year,
yep,
Matt?
No, he's gone. Yep. He's making the jump.
Well, let's look at that. Still a young kid, and it's hard to say no to the money. And it's also hard to say no to the fact, well, hey, if I play another 3 years or 4 years or 2 years, or, well, you wouldn't play another 4 years, but another 2 or 3 years in the college level, who's to say I won't get hurt and I won't be able to play? I need to take the chance while I can. You look at young players like Noah Vonleh, I think he's got so much more to learn. I think that we can say, as a disappointing season as it was for Coach Crean, he is going to be able to keep his job. I think he's just got a lot to learn before making that break. And so, Matt, when you look at Noah Vonleh making that break, what are your thoughts?
I think when you rush to judge, you have to think about the individual. And this, in my opinion, is the absolute right decision. He is not going to improve his draft status in any way, shape, or form by coming back to Indiana. I think he is, and this might be heresy, but I think he's incredibly more skilled than a Cody Zeller, who went high in the draft, went third or fourth. I don't think he's going to go that high. I do think he's going to be a top 10 pick. He reminds me, I think if you're looking for comparison as far as NBA games go, he reminds me of, and I say this with a smile, good Jermaine O'Neal, I think he's got a lot of talent around the basket. He'll develop a jump shot over time. But you know, for him, it's the right decision. I don't know that Indiana's going to significantly improve next year. It's not a Jabari Parker situation where if he comes back, he's got a legitimate shot to win an NCAA championship. With the recruiting class Duke has, Parker could come back, win the championship, and then be the number one overall pick. Noah Vonleh is not going to be the number one overall pick at any point in his collegiate career. So this is a great time for him to come out, and he'll have a long NBA career. He has a lot of skill and a lot of size, and those are two things you just can't live without in the NBA.
Kevin, do you have any thoughts on Noah Vonleh entering the NBA draft?
No, not specifically, Nolan. I guess I differ on some. I struggle with the concept of leaving early. I understand the money. I understand the risk of injuring yourself and not making it to the pros. I just wonder sometime when they leave, not so much on the basketball end, but on the maturity end and that aspect of it. Is it too early, or should they just go ahead and finish, you know, that 4 years and get some maturity behind them?
But I think that's a legitimate concern, and that's what the commissioner of the NBA is saying, too. He's, you know, first off, their product suffers by 19-year-old kids coming to the NBA, and they've suggested maybe at least making them stay in for 2 years, and I don't know if that makes a huge difference or not. But I think that's a legitimate concern, that you're going to have a league of you know, 20-year-old kids in their second year, and none of them are really skilled. And as you said, more importantly, how many of them are really mature? There are certainly cases where kids are mature enough to go to the NBA after a year. But you don't know that, and I think that's the big mystery of this whole draft process. You're drafting off potential and hope that, for lack of a better way of saying it, these kids aren't nutcases.
Or we find out later if they're not cases. So, you know, and I guess, you know, we got the April 27th deadline that is approaching for these people, these kids to declare. So this is an early list, and we don't really have to break down a lot of these, but I'm just going to kind of give you the list as I know it. Kyle Anderson from UCLA, Jamari Brown of Missouri, Jahali Carson of Arizona State. Can people just get – no, I'm just kidding. These names, Jumanji Christian, Xavier, Jordan Clarkson, Missouri, Tyler Ennis, Syracuse, Dante Exum, Australia, and Harold, the kid from Louisville. I'm not even going to try to pronounce his first name. And the kid from France, and then we got a guy from Russia as well, and then Levine from UCLA as well. Steve Alford losing a couple of young players. How big of an impact is that for him out there?
Well, I think it's important to remember that these are not players he recruited, but it still hurts. I think as he builds that team and his image, he'll continue to get talent. UCLA is going to always be a school that has it'll be like Indiana. There'll be one and done there, but that won't be – my guess is that won't be his coaching philosophy like it is with Calipari. I think he'll understand that he'll get a couple here and there. But, yeah, it's going to hurt, but they'll recover. I don't know about his recruiting class offhand. I know it's good. I know it would have been better if he'd have gotten a young man from Indianapolis to come over, but it didn't work out. But it's a good recruiting class, and I think they'll be right back in that Pac-12 hunt when next season gets going. But yeah, anytime you lose an NBA player off your team, it's a bad situation. When you lose two, it's a worse situation.
Well, and that brings us to our next topic here, the Pacers. Wow, six in a row. Certainly we know that they've clinched the division, and maybe they're just slacking off a little bit. Maybe we're just paranoid. Maybe we're just worried. Maybe these losses really don't mean as much as they do. But Matt, we look at the Pacers just going in the wrong direction when you're trying to get a national championship and everybody's looking at you. And let's face it, everybody's looking at you and putting you next to the Heat and saying, well, the Pacers lost, the Heat won. And the Heat won and the Pacers lost. Or, you know, there's always that second denominator that always follows you with the Pacers that the Heat does not have to worry about. So when you lose six in a row, as small as that might be, some media people would want to put you in the perspective as the 76ers as opposed to losing six in a row.
Well, you're right. And it is a reactionary game. The NBA is a long season, and there's no question. You know, I was trying to play off this slump for quite a while, but there's no question there is an issue. However, the last two games have been improvements, and I think you can, at this point, you can go ahead and cling to that. You know, you look at Detroit, it was a win at home, and it was closer than it probably should have been, but a win nonetheless. And then last night in Toronto, they played okay, but just not quite well enough to win. And I think that they'll continue to improve here in these last, what, five left that they've got. And I wouldn't rule out them still getting that number one seed in the overall Eastern Conference. Miami lost again last night.
Well, we hope so. And I just got a feeling that we're going to be back in the same boat, the same scenario. Well, all we hear is beat the Heat, beat the Heat, beat the Heat, beat the Heat. So I hope that somewhere in the playoffs that the Pacers win and the Heat loses, so we don't have that rematch. But unfortunately, if you were to look in the crystal ball, that looks like what's headed our way. Kevin Chapman, real quickly, any final questions for Matt Hicks regarding the NBA or the Pacers or anything for that matter?
No, I just would like, as a Philadelphia 76er fan, and I'm saying that in public and on the radio.
hey, he's that guy with the bag on his head.
No, hey, I don't wear a bag. I'm proud to be a Sixer fan. Just where does he see us going? I mean, we have the players. I don't think we have that bad of players. I mean, where do we need to change?
Well, I think it depends where they wind up in the draft. With the lottery, you can't just say, well, they'll definitely get number one, and you take Wiggins and you call it a day. I think if they wind up with number one, Wiggins can fit into that team. I think that would be a wing that they could use. There's some talent on that team. I agree. There's, now granted, they've gotten rid of some of it with Turner, but I don't think Turner was in their plans. A guy that I find very interesting in this draft, and he would be available at two or three, is Joel Embiid from Kansas. He's a center. He's a throwback center. Got a lot of moves around the basket, got some size, will grow into his body a little bit more. He's young, so yes, it's a project. But I've watched him several times, and yeah, concerning that he's got a back injury right now, and I grant that wholeheartedly. But if Philadelphia, for some reason, doesn't wind up with a number one pick through the lottery, I think that's a guy that could really help that team and their front court get even better. Because I think the front court for Philadelphia is already a strength, but if you add something to it, it's an even better situation.
Well, we're talking with Matt Hicks from 1070 The Fan, and Kevin Chapman jumped on and joined us today, one of our the original co-hosts of the show. We've been talking about the Final Four and the NBA and, of course, the Pacers as well. And, you know, speaking of the 76ers, Matt, your partner in crime yourself, Mr. Jersey Johnny, I know that, you know, he's from that region, as Dan Dockage would say, but not the region, but a region down there. So is he kind of hiding in the bushes with these 76ers or what?
He is not, as you might guess, by the name of Jersey Johnny, and talking to a guy that moved from Baltimore, well, from the New Jersey area to Indianapolis for a football team. He's not the biggest NBA fan, but he's kind of latched on with the Pacers. The Pacers have been good to him through his charity work with the Indy Honor Flight, and he has become quite the Pacer fan over the last several years. So I think he's probably from that East Coast basketball scene. He switched allegiances over to the Pacers.
Well, there we go. And, Matt, you know what? We got just a couple minutes left here, and we're going to just make this the final thought, if you will. And because it is going to lead us into our next segment, we're going to be talking about this in baseball and recap of our Hot Corner show from Thursday. But Daniel Murphy of the Mets really got ripped by Boomer Esiason. Well, and really kind of a surprise to a lot of people, and you know, just got legs. And I know he's apologized, and I believe that the apology was sincere. But at the same time, it's like anything. Once the comments are made, once they're out there, that wound is already created. Myself, I have to take the side of, I think, a lot of people on social media and a lot of people with Daniel Murphy and the Mets. You know, it's great to be able to have that livelihood. Yes, that is going to provide you with more than enough money to provide for your family. And, yes, he could have hopped on a private jet, came and played the game, and went back and been by his family's side, and nobody would have said anything. But, you know, speaking of Philly, Rollins just had a baby himself. Nobody was talking about that. I think Boomer Esiason was way overboard. And for those that don't know, basically Boomer Esiason said this. He said, you know, hey, the father's job is to do what he does basically in the bedroom and create the baby. And then if there's a conflict of interest, basically, let's induce a C-section. And where he basically said to America, you know, hey, if your wife is having a baby and your work is providing you with a very good lifestyle, well, you know, cut your wife open, get the baby out of there, and go back and play baseball. How insensitive was that? And what are your thoughts as a parent yourself?
Well, you know, listen, I think it's lack of perspective, number one. I think you're talking to a guy that played once a week his entire career and could, yeah, you know what, more than likely you could probably get around about having a baby on a Saturday or a Sunday. So I think it's lack of perspective. It's a 162-game schedule. The guy's going to have off days anyway. So he took too early in the season. I mean, I don't have a big problem with it. I do have a problem with Boomer. I met him once years ago, and it was, let's put it this way, not to get into the whole story, not a positive interaction. I've never really heard that many great things about him. I think he is in a situation now, too, where he's being asked to be controversial, so he kind of wore his opinion on his sleeve. But I really think it comes from a lack of perspective. It's a football guy talking about baseball, and he just doesn't get that the idea is that these guys work, you know, 162 games a season, and they're at the park, and it's not just that they're there for 3 hours a game. They're there 2 hours early and 2 hours afterwards. It's a full day at work. And listen, don't get me wrong. I'd love to have made the $11 million Daniel Murphy's made, and I think he's a fine player. But I think he made the right decision, and I think for him to be criticized by a retired quarterback that's having a fledgling radio career is just not cool.
I agree with you 100%. Matt Hicks of 1070 The Fan joining us today and breaking down the Final Four and some NBA talk with us. Matt, I hope you have yourself a very good weekend, and I appreciate you hanging out with us this morning, sir.
Thanks, Tom. I enjoyed it.
All right, buddy. Matt Hicks of 1070 The Fan. Always love having him on. He's a good friend of the show and has been on numerous times for various different topics, and certainly enjoy having him on. Well, we're going to take a break. My name is Tom Mark, Michelle President. Jay, myself, and Kevin Chapman going to be right back. Going to be taking the final half hour in really kind of a hodgepodge or open phones, and we're just going to kind of bounce around the topics, and whatever comes to mind, we'll get into a conversation about that. One of those, obviously, is going to be about the Pacers. About the Pacers, but also about baseball and the Indians, but also Daniel Murphy and, you know, Boomer Esiason's insensitive, unfocused comments that he made on his radio program. So we're going to get into that. Myself and Kevin Chapman. My name is Tom Mark with El Presidente. This is The Balance on the Balance Radio Network. We'll be right back.
Hi, I'm Mark Timmons of U.S. Water Systems, a family-owned Indiana company that sells water treatment equipment around the world. But we especially know Indiana water because our world headquarters are right here in Indy. You have bad water in your home or business? Whether you're on city or well water, uswatersystems.com makes it easy to solve your water problems. We offer videos, all sorts of water conditioning equipment, and tech support 365 days a year by certified water specialists. U.S. Water has reverse osmosis systems, water softeners, and salt-free water conditioners from $179. Visit us at uswatersystems.com.
The echoes, the legends, the hearts and souls of champions, all will take notice as a new tradition ignites. The inaugural Grand Prix of Indianapolis. New twists, new turns,
new thrills. Grand Prix of Indianapolis at the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Our story begins now.
Soccer is the world's game.
And it has deep roots in Indiana.
It lives in our backyard.
In our rec league.
En nuestras escuelas.
Indy 11 is here.
And make no mistake, this is Indiana's team.
It was built from the ground up.
Brick by brick by soccer fans. When we take the field next April, we'll be playing for you.
For me. Para mí.
For us.
This is my team.
Este es mi equipo.
This is our team.
This is your team.
It's time.
It's going to be awesome.
I'm going to be there.
Voy a estar ahí. I'll be there.
This isn't just any soccer team. This is Indiana's team, and that includes you.
Why would these rivals risk everything? Each is driven to be the one. IndyCar, the one to win the heart of racing.
IndyCar welcomes Verizon to the heart of racing and is proud to announce the Verizon IndyCar Series.
Peter, you just pooped all over the bed.
When you poop in your dreams, you poop for real.
All right, welcome back to The Balance. My name is Tom Mark with Sal Presidente. What a great time we've had with you so far. The first hour we had Cruz Padagon, NHRA Funny Car driver, joining us, talking with us about the 2014 Funny Car season. And I would point out, again, coming up next week, right here on The Balance, in our racing segment, first thing, we've got John Force of the John Force Racing Legacy, and certainly one of the greatest NHRA drivers of all time, going to be joining us right here on The Balance. And also, we talked with Matt Hicks of 1070 The Fan, and talked about the Final Four, the Pacers, and so forth. But that just brings us to our next segment, where myself and the original co-host of The Balance, Mr. Kevin Chapman. We've been talking, a lot about a lot of different things. And one of the things that The Balance does and how it was always ever created was just to give you a little bit of a taste of everything in all of the sports. And so we always like to give the last half hour where we just kind of do open lines, if you will, 917-889-8516, talk about whatever you want. We call it the iPod Shuffle. All right, that's right, our iPod Shuffle, and The Balance's version of the iPod Shuffle. And I tell you what we do here is we just really talk about, you know, really we kind of touch on the headline stories of the week, but really we're open to anything. You want to talk soccer, the Indy 11, obviously, their season, we could talk about that. We could talk about the Pacers, baseball, Final Four, if you'd like, as well. And, you know, I had a great opportunity to talk with Jared Hughes of the Indianapolis Indians this past week, Kevin. We had the
the first pitch party out there at the JW Marriott. And I know that we're going to have you out there covering some Indians games with us as well. I'd ask you to come out there, but you missed it. I'll tell you what, you missed a great time out there at the JW Marriott and had a good opportunity to talk with a lot of the Indians players. And, you know, I don't know if you saw this or not on my social media, you know, did you, first of all, Kevin, let me set this up a little bit. Did you see the selfie that that President Obama took with Pena of the Red Sox?
No, I didn't. I'm gonna have to look at that.
You missed the presidential the presidential selfie? Are you kidding me?
I try to miss most of that stuff with him.
You and I both, brother. No, he did a selfie. The Boston Red Sox went out there to the White House, Big Poppy or David Ortiz of the Boston Red Sox said, "Hey, you know, I want to do a selfie." And it was one of the most tweeted out selfies next to Ellen's selfie, if you will, which has become the trend. So I actually got my own presidential selfie out, and I'm going to get that back up on social media. Some people missed it, but I got my own presidential selfie. Did you know that, Kevin?
No, I did not.
Yeah, it's true. I did. Frank Connolly, president of the Pittsburgh Pirates, was at this first pitch party out at the JW Marriott here in Indianapolis, and I got a presidential selfie with Frank Connolly, president of the Pirates. So all I can say is if you have to choose between a selfie with President Obama or a selfie with Frank Connolly of the Pittsburgh Pirates, I'll take Frank Connolly of the Pittsburgh Pirates anytime. Had a great time here talking with the Indians. I caught up with Jared Hughes of the Indianapolis Indians. Here's what he had to say.
All right. Talking with Jared Hughes. Jared, does anybody ever tell you you should play basketball instead of baseball?
You know, I get it all the time. And when I was in high school, I played basketball, but I grew up as one of the tallest kids in my class at all my levels, so I played post. And I was 6'7", playing post, which is pretty tall, especially for high school. But my coach came up to me, my baseball coach came up to me one day, and he said, "Jared, you know, you can be a 6'7" pitcher and play in the major leagues, or you can be a 6'7" center and play in the NBA. So he's just giving you that information. You kind of make a wise choice." And I was like, "Well, there's no 6'7" centers in the NBA, right?" So I chose baseball, and it ended up working out.
Well, absolutely, looking out great for you. Now, coming back this year from last year, great year last year, by the way. What are some of the things that you learned from last year? It seems like last year you guys were able to get over that hump. Now that you're over it, how do you stay over that and keep that momentum? And certainly, feeding on into the Pirates, as good as they have done, so you've got to be proud to be part of the Indians and the Pirates in 2013. What a great year that was. So you got a lot of momentum coming into 2014. How do you keep that up?
Well, I mean, you look back at 2013, and it's in the past now, but something to learn from that is honestly that hard work pays off, that we put so much work as an organization, as teammates, and as individuals into last season, and it paid off. We won. We won in the big leagues. We won at the AAA level. I mean, it was a great season for our organization, and that was the hard work we put into it. So in hindsight, you look at that, and you go into the last offseason, and you're thinking, okay, I'm going to work hard again. Because if I work hard again, I'm going to win again. And that's what we all did. We went out this offseason. We all worked out. We did everything we could hard. If you look at how our organization was run, the moves they made, they did a great job. And I think that we're going into the season after a great spring training, even more prepared than we were last year.
Jared, I appreciate your time. I look forward to watching you in 2014.
Thank you very much. Yeah.
Jared Hughes of the Indianapolis Indians had an opportunity to catch up with him at the first pitch party down at the JW Marriott. Kevin Chapman, I know that you follow the International League for a whole different reason, and that's, if I'm wrong about this, but correct me, but the Columbus Clippers, Norfolk Tides is who you follow, as they are the AAA affiliate for the Philadelphia Phillies.
Correct.
Well, I'll tell you what, we look at...
Go ahead.
We do. We look at the 2013 season of the Indianapolis Indians. Obviously, had a great season over there in the International League. As we look at Norfolk and Columbus Clippers and the Louisville Bats and the Indianapolis Indians, we look at the International League and we look at certainly all the teams that compose the International League and Minor League Baseball. Talk with us a little bit about some of the things you're looking for, not only from the Indianapolis Indians, but also with the Norfolk Tides.
Well, one of the great things about those is when we're talking about NHRA drivers, the Indians and players on that level are actually really great with fans. I look forward to that aspect of it. And I have to say that, to me, some of the best part of those games is, unfortunately for the players, but you get to some of your favorite players when they're going through a little bit of a slump or a little bit of a rehab or injuries. You get to go to watch these games, and you get that little bonus, I guess you could say, of seeing some of these, major league players here at a local stadium for a really great price.
Oh, yeah, absolutely, and I really enjoy the Indian. They really do have a up-close and personal, no matter really where you're at. I know Evansville has a team, and Fort Wayne has the Fort Wayne Tin Caps, which is a AA affiliate for the San Diego Padres. Certainly got a beautiful stadium up there in Fort Wayne. I know a lot of our Indiana Talks family get an opportunity to go to the Fort Wayne Tin Caps, and we're working on getting some interviews with players from them we'll run on the hot corner with us every Thursday night, and we'll point out that if you are a baseball fan, 1 hour a day, 1 hour a week, we dedicate to baseball, minor league and MLB, and we really do break down all of the happenings in the MLB and the minor leagues and the farm systems as well. So if you like baseball, I'll tell you what, that's a thing for you. Because I tell you what, if you're a fan of the game, you're a fan of the balance. So make sure you're following us at T Balance, at Pro Indie, and at IndianMay.com. Common at Two Hot Corner. Those are our family of sites and Twitter sites that we have. All right, Kevin, I want to get your opinion on this. So you're a father as well. I'm a father. Matt Hicks is a father. And we talked a little bit before the break there with Matt Hicks about Daniel Murphy and this whole big implosion, if you will, from Boomer Esiason, which really kind of surprised me because he is a father who does a lot of work for the March of Dimes. He's a father of a special needs child. I do accept his apology, and not that it's my position to accept his apology, but I think it was sincere. And I think Matt really had a good point that it comes from a different perspective, that he's a retired football player, 16 games. That is a big miss if you miss, and then the opportunity with the money that you make. So maybe his words were chosen in not in the most timely way, and I think that his apology was sincere. But the point is, we're still talking about that, and with him having his new radio show, certainly as a man who's built his own radio show, kind of a one-man show for the longest time, I know that you have to create certain situations, and you have to stir the pot a little bit, but you do also have to walk that line. So let me ask you this. So when you look at this whole Daniel Murphy scenario, and especially talking about your Philadelphia Phillies, Rollins just had a baby, took some time off. Nobody said anything to him. So I think a lot of it has to do with what market that you might be playing in. But Daniel Murphy, certainly the firestorm got ignited only because he decided to take an extra day and miss a game at the beginning of the season, mind you, to be there for the birth of his baby.
Well, that's the biggest thing for me is number one, Rollins, he had a baby. Yes, he took a day off. He did make the game. But the same token, it's the beginning of the season. And as a dad, the reality of it is this. Baseball is important. Baseball, I still think we should add a national holiday for opening day. Really, is baseball more important than your family, than your seeing a child born? I have to say no. I agree with him missing. It's the beginning of the season. Him missing a game or two now really is not going to have any effect on postseason.
And I agree with you 100%. And I think that's where Boomer just totally missed the boat on this. So let's get your thoughts. If you want to give us a call real quickly, we'd love to hear your thoughts. 917-889-8516. Was Boomer Esiason wrong with the comments that he made? Should Daniel Murphy have taken time to be with his family at the birth of his child? I think a lot of us that are parents, you know, I certainly don't make $11 million a year, but at the same time, you know, if I was blessed with another child, I certainly would want to be there for the birth of that child. It's a special time, and I think it's more than just being there. The special bond that's created at the time of birth between the baby and the parents, both the mother and the father. So, Kevin, I ask you, I mean, do we put too much emphasis just because somebody gets paid $11 million, a lot's expected from somebody that gets paid that kind of money, but at some point, do we not have to bring back that moral fiber of being a father and a parent itself?
Oh, no, there is no doubt. 100% we need to bring that back. I mean, the reality of this, any of these sports out there, we as fans, it's a sport to us. And, yes, there is a part of it that's a sport to these players. But, you know, the reality of it is this is a business for them. And there's no difference between me wanting to take 2 days off from the restaurant I work at for a birth of a child, then somebody wanted to take a game off of baseball. It's a business. Yeah, for me it's a sport. I watch it on TV. I love baseball. But it's a business, and the reality of it is this. You know I was active duty. Your son's active duty. And I've seen a lot of guys miss the birth of a child, and I was blessed, and I got to see all four births of mine, and I would not want to – I cannot imagine I've missed that, because you are 100% right. It's not just physically being there. There's that emotional connection that no matter what happens in life, you will never lose that. And I support them. And I think Boomer needs to realize there's not 16 games in baseball. There's 116. And it's not – one game out of 16 is a lot more of an impact than one game out of an entire baseball season.
Are we being too hard on Boomer? I mean, he did apologize. I mean, I think in life we come across situations to where I'm guilty. I think anybody that knows me, I'm guilty of seeing things at times that might be insensitive and might be wrong. But, you know, the thing about it is I'm just wondering, are we being too hard on Boomer, poor Boomer, or are we really looking at a situation to where us as fans have gotten to the point where we need to hear from a radio commentator to boost our listenership? Have we gotten to the point where we need to hear someone like Boomer Esiason say something so insensitive about a time so special in a family's life? You know, I think that there has to be an ability where you have privacy in your life. Don't get me wrong. I mean, tickets pay salaries. And don't get me wrong. He's obligated contractually and to the fans to be at the ballpark. Don't get me wrong at all. I'm not saying that Daniel Murphy should not be at the ballpark. What I am saying is that if it is his decision as a father early in the season. Again, we're not talking, I mean, you know what, there might be that argument where, you know, so much in baseball comes down to, hey, they've got a one-game lead or a two-game lead, but really how big of an impact did the win or loss have with the Mets by him not being there? I mean, I guess that's what we're talking about here. Him not being there, did he really cause the Mets to lose? So when you look at the end of the season and the Mets get, if this scenario comes together and the Mets get shut out of the playoffs by one game, is that because Daniel Murphy missed a game early on in the season? I don't think so. And so for the fact that, you know, I accept his apology, and we're still talking about it. So obviously, you know, his producers and the people that do this and talk about this, are getting what they wanted in that we're talking about Boomer Esiason's show. But at the same time, have we gotten to the point where we as fans really expect that? You know, here's the thing. You got to know your listeners. We have a certain different type of listening audience, perhaps, than ESPN radio does, and I'm quite sure that the New York market does, and Boomer Esiason. Have we gotten to the point as fans where we expect that we need to have those kind of comments to listen to your show, Kevin?
You know, and I think you hit it on the head with it. It's Boomer, to a certain point, has to say some things controversy. You know, that's the reality of our society. We all complain. We all say we hate the news because it's all depression. But you know what? The reality of it is good stories don't make the news for a reason. As a society, for lack of better terms, as Americans, we have to have the drama. That's what we listen to. That's what draws us into something. And his radio show has gotten more listeners, whether they hate him or not, got more listeners by that statement. Do I think we're too hard on him? I think he was out of line. But you know what? It's like you said. It's not my spot to accept his apology, not to accept his apology, or even judge his apology. The reality of it is none of us knows how sincere it was. None of us know where he was really when it came to the comment. How much was it his real, honest, personal opinion? And how much was it, okay, well, I'm being paid to do this radio show. My producers want me to go this route. I have to take it.
Well, you know, we're awful hard on Boomer, too, but let's not forget the fact that there was another well-known radio show host, Frank Fresca, and I'm probably saying his name wrong, who's certainly all New York. Everybody knows Frank Fresca, and he's known for his comments. So maybe we weren't as shocked by, I said Frank, I'm sorry, Mike Fresca's comments as we were about Boomer, because yeah, it was totally uncharacteristic of Boomer to say that. Very characteristic of Mike. I think we actually expected Mike Fresca to say that. We expected that. So certainly one of the legends in sports talk, and has got a huge audience. And who am I to say what he can and cannot say on his show? Who am I to say what Boomer can and cannot say on their show? Who are they to say what I can and cannot say on my show? But it's at some point, we get into a conversation where we say, hey, well, we've got to say this because this is what our listeners want to hear. Well, you know, maybe that's one of the reasons that we developed this show in the first place. We want to have inputs from the fans, whether you agree with what we have to say or whether you don't, or you disagree, or you agree or disagree. The point is, if you're a fan and you got an opinion and a point of view, that's where we're at. So, you know, my point of view on this scenario is that if Daniel Murphy wants to play baseball, be a professional baseball player, there are certain requirements required of him. But if he wants to miss a game or two to be with his family in the birth of his child, I'm all for it. And I don't care if you play football either, for that matter. You're talking about 16 games. And, you know, yes, the impact may have been felt differently there. But at the same time, it's my choice as a father to be there or not to be there for my family. And you mentioned the military, and you know, a lot, that's a choice that a lot of military people don't have. I was fortunate enough to be there for the birth of my son. So, you know, and my son was fortunate enough to be there for the birth of my granddaughter, being active duty military, but a lot of active duty military don't have that choice. So it's one thing to not have that choice and not be there, and to have that choice and to be there and to be at the top of your game. I mean, you're playing a child's game. So let's look at it like this. You are doing something that only most of us ever get an opportunity to only dream about. Kevin, well, real quickly, we got to get the last words in. We're down here to our two-minute warning, so go ahead, sir.
I agree with what you're saying. It's a child's game. He's blessed to be playing it. Got to remember this. Family is the most important thing. Baseball's going to go away. Everything else is going to go away. Family won't. But I do want to put a shameless plug in here. One of my good friends, Hector, Chapman is singing at the opening game for the Tides, the national anthem. So I will definitely be down there Thursday at 7:05 down watching the Indianapolis Indians play.
Well, there we go. All right, Kevin Chapman, we appreciate you coming back on board with us today, and we'll look forward to maybe catching up with you again later on in the year, sir.
Yes, sir, and we will see each other Monday at the latest.
All right, buddy. We'll talk to you soon. Kevin Chapman joined us for the entire 2 hours today. I appreciate him taking some time with us. The original co-host of the Balance Sand. We enjoyed having him on. Well, guys, it's been a great conversation. Special thanks to Cruz Predagon, NHRA, Funny Car Driver, Matt Hicks of 1070 The Fan. Wow, 2 hours flies by when you have fun, doesn't it? I tell you what, my name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. We do this thing every Saturday morning. Be back next, coming up this Thursday, 7 o'clock p.m. Eastern for the Hot Corner. Again, my name is Tom Marquis, El Presidente. Give us a follow on at GBalance and at NDMA.com for all the racing action. Don't drink and drive. Remember, it isn't cool. And we'll catch you again on Thursday right here on The Balance. Be right back. Well, no, we won't. We'll be back on Thursday. I tell you what, we'll see you.
Join us next week for The Balance. In the meantime, check us out on Twitter, T-Balance, or Facebook, The Balance, or online at www.thebalanceonline.com.